grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our Thanksgiving devotion is recorded in St. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 35. This is the gospel lesson for last Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only reason that we are able to give thanks to God for the forgiveness of our sins and all the blessings of our daily bread. Where are you going to spend Thanksgiving Day? I'll suggest that even more important than the where is with whom. The company that we have Thanksgiving with is more important than the day or the place. That's true also for us as a congregational family. Over the past years of the history of Bethlehem, we have given thanks to God in a public library, in an industrial strip mall, in the cafeteria of a public elementary school, and two places in this building. We didn't always do it on Thanksgiving Day, nor did we always do it the night before. I invite you to spend a part of your Thanksgiving observance with me in a place that might seem just a bit unusual to the average person, and that is at the foot of a Roman cross outside the walls of Jerusalem. The company could not be better. We're gathered here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are gathered with Christ, our King. As we look up, though, from our place at the foot of the cross, Jesus doesn't look very regal, does he? We don't behold him in his majesty and in his glory, ruling over all things as we saw him just a couple of days ago. We see him suffering, and we see him bleeding, and we see him dying. Tonight, we behold our suffering Jesus, suffering on the cross. So, join me this evening in offering thanksgiving at the foot of Jesus' cross. Join me in saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for not saving yourself, but us. Thank you, Jesus, for graciously calling us into your kingdom." The words of Jesus' enemies that we hear as we spend Thanksgiving at the foot of Jesus' cross are dripping in irony. His enemies among the Jewish leadership make fun of his claim He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The Roman soldiers joined in the fun, in the mockery of Jesus. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. They were likely used to seeing powerful kings save themselves in the middle of a battle. And then there were the two criminals, the malefactors, crucified, one on either side of Jesus. One of the criminals who hung there and hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself." And he added, "And us." If you're going to save yourself, then save us as well. Of course, Jesus is God's chosen one. Of course, he is the Christ. He is, as we heard last Sunday, whom the titleists above him said he is. This is the King of the Jews. Thank you, Jesus, for not saving yourself. Thank you for not listening to the mockery of those Jewish leaders or of the Roman soldiers who were expecting of you what they had seen of earthly kings. Thank you for staying on the cross and by not saving yourself, saving us. And we know that you have saved us because by suffering and dying on the cross, you have saved the entire world. You have saved all sinners, including me, from my sins and from the horrible consequences of those sin. Death, the grave, eternal separation from you in hell. This cross at which we sit at the foot of this evening and look up to our Savior was Satan's last chance. It was his last-ditch effort to get Jesus to do something that would break God's promise to the world, to send his Son to be our Redeemer. His enemies were really speaking for Satan, were really trying to do Satan's work by getting Jesus to come down from the cross and disobey his Father's will. Thank you, Jesus, for not disobeying your Father's will. Thank you for obeying his will, the purpose for which he sent you into this world, to redeem me, a lost and condemned creature, to reconcile me to your Father forever and ever. Instead of Satan defeating Christ, that first promise given in Eden was carried out. Yes, Jesus suffered when Satan fulfilled that part of Genesis 3:15, "You will bruise his heel." But by not coming down from the cross, by not saving himself, but us, Jesus crushed Satan's head. Thank you, Jesus, because here you were reconciling the world to God, not counting our sins against us. It was not Jesus' will, as is so often ours, to do what is best for us, for ourselves. Jesus' will was not to do what was best for himself. His will on the cross was to do what was best for us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing what was best, not for yourself, but what was best for us. What is eternally for our good. We have a great need, an eternal need for you, and for the atonement that you carried out. We acknowledge your complete satisfaction that your work completed, that has given us forgiveness and new life. As part of our continual thanksgiving to God, aren't we determined to take this message out to the world? Before church this evening, we gave my granddaughters one of the sermon notes sheets that the little children get. And she wrote on there, "Good news, Grandpa." That's exactly what this is. This is good news. Jesus didn't listen to his enemies and save himself, but he stayed on the cross and he saved us. And that's the gospel. And that's the good news that you and I together carry out to the world, to that globe that is on our new stained glass windows, with that word of God and with the holy sacraments, that we proclaim the suffering King, but the victorious King, the one who is exalted now and reigning at the Father's right hand. Then all may know him. Then next Thanksgiving, if we're all still here, or not singing eternal Thanksgiving praises in heaven, there will be people who this year don't know to give thanks to God for the good news. But next year they will, because they will have come to know why Jesus didn't come down. And then they'll join us in our daily thanksgiving at the foot of Jesus' cross. There was one soul there who experienced this good news and gave thanks to Jesus, not with us as we gather this evening for thanksgiving at the foot of the cross, but rather, he gave thanksgiving right next to Jesus because he was lifted up on the cross along with Jesus next to him. And while the guy on the other side made fun of Jesus and didn't really expect much to happen, this man, in repentance and in faith that the Holy Spirit worked somehow through God's word, knew that he had a better end. And he was thankful to Jesus because Jesus called him into his kingdom. He said to his friend, or maybe it was his friend, maybe he didn't even know him, "We're getting what we deserve, but we're in the same condemnation as God. This man is obviously not just a human being. We're getting what we deserve. This man is holy. This man's done nothing wrong." And then he turned to our Lord and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Our suffering King gave this man reason for thanksgiving. "Today you will be with me in paradise." This man gave thanksgiving next to Jesus' cross because Jesus called him into his kingdom. I'm reminded of a friend who many years ago met a man on death row at Arizona State Prison. The man soon, the next day actually, was going to die in the electric chair. And my friend went to that man and visited him, and the man acknowledged his sins, acknowledged that those sins deserved wrath and punishment from God. And my friend comforted him with the good news that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for him, and that by raising him from Jesus from the dead, God had declared this man not guilty of his sins. And by that word, the Holy Spirit created faith in that man's heart. And the next day he went to the electric chair praising and thanking God because God had called him into his kingdom. What is faith in Jesus? Isn't faith in Jesus essentially giving thanks to Jesus? What is the way that we really say to somebody, I'm thankful for the gift that you have given me? Isn't it using it in appreciation? Isn't it applying that gift to ourselves the way the giver intended it to be applied? And that's exactly what those two criminals did. Jesus called them into his kingdom, and he gave them peace and joy as they faced death. Both of those men knew when they were going to die. Jesus told that criminal on the cross, you're not going to hang here for days like most criminals do before they die. You're going to be dead within 24 hours. Your suffering soon is going to be over. And that's what my friend told that criminal at ASP. That soon your suffering, your physical suffering, being in prison for years and years, is going to be over. But most of all, the suffering of your conscience is over. The suffering of your spirit is over. Because you know that God has removed your sin and your guilt, and you will be with me in paradise. More than once in my ministry, I have sat next to somebody who longed for the day when they would be in paradise. Sometimes God says to those people, you're going to have to wait a while. And he says most often, I'm not going to tell you exactly when you're going to be with me in paradise. You and I don't know the season of our death. We don't know the day of our death. We don't know the hours of our deaths. But we do know for sure that when we die, because Jesus has called us into his kingdom by the gospel, that we will be with him in paradise. We prepare to greet our King in thankfulness then, tonight as we gather at the foot of his cross, watching and waiting while he suffered. While we wait, we daily confess our sins, acknowledge our transgressions, drown our old Adam in our holy baptisms, so that he cannot rise and get the best of us. We wait with our lamps burning brightly with the oil of faith, looking for the arrival of our heavenly bridegroom. Can we even imagine the relief that the malefactor on the cross felt when Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? Can we even imagine the relief that led to thanksgiving to God by that murderer on death row who went to the electric chair? Sure you can. Just think of how serious your sins are. Sure I can. When I think about what fills my head sometimes and comes out of my mouth and is done with my hands and my feet. We can appreciate just as much as they appreciate those words, because we are just as guilty of sin as they are. But now we can give thanks to God because Jesus has called us out of this world of slavery to sin into the kingdom of his Son. Jesus has called us into his kingdom. We see that as we look up from the foot of Jesus' cross. Some time ago, I read an article that claimed that Jesus' cross is not about God's wrath. It's only about God's love. That's a half-truth, and a half-truth is not the truth. The cross is about both. It's about God's wrath and punishment of my sin on Jesus, and that's why the cross is also an act of God's love. If you ever doubt that God isn't angry at your sins, look up from the foot of the cross and see the suffering Christ. If you ever begin to think, or I ever begin to think, that God doesn't love me, or that I'm not going to be in heaven, then look up at the cross. Look up at your suffering Savior and see there the guarantee. Sing with the hymn writer, "Hail, O once despised Jesus. Hail, O Galilean King. You have suffered to release us, hope to give and peace to bring. Hail, O universal Savior, bearer of our sin and shame. By your merits we find favor. Life is given through your name." Unless our risen and reigning Savior, King, returns suddenly tonight at midnight, we will join America tomorrow in celebrating Thanksgiving somewhere around a variety of different traditions. Tonight, we join our hearts and voices and give thanks at the foot of Jesus' cross. Amen.